the saving power of faith in the resurrection. Today's theme. When we chose this theme months ago, when we were making our calendar, we knew that this day would be a day of joy because it's the octave of Easter, Saturday in the octave of Easter. We also knew, I don't know how much we thought about it, but we knew that it's the day before Divine Mercy Sunday. And maybe if we thought much about it at all, we would realize today's the ninth day of the Divine Mercy Novena. So we knew that. We'd be celebrating the resurrection, celebrating Divine Mercy. What we could not have known, and we certainly didn't know, is that today would be the funeral of the Pope. Today is the funeral mass of Pope Francis, which, of course, changes our focus. The focus of the whole church and of the world is on the Vatican City now and the funeral of the Pope. In fact, our whole experience of Easter has been colored by the Pope's return home. We celebrated Easter Sunday. The Pope gave his blessing. The next morning, he died. And so as we're celebrating the resurrection, we're also mourning the death of our Holy Father. He died on Easter Monday. He's being buried on Easter Saturday. The whole Easter octave is colored by his death, his wake, and his burial. So we keep in mind today, this is the day of his funeral. His funeral will be at 10 o'clock. In Rome, but since we are 6 hours ahead of Rome time for us, it will be 4 p.m. I'm sure we can easily watch it on almost any platform. And millions of people will watch it. Hundreds of thousands of people will be there in Rome for the event, and many more will be watching online. They say that Pope Francis is the first digital pope because he's the pope. During the era when the digital imagery and social media exploded. And he's the most photographed pope, and for sure this will be the most photographed funeral ever, because everybody of those 100 or 200,000 people there, they're all going to have their phones with them, and they're all going to take pictures of the funeral. Here in the diocese, Bishop Mercado is holding a requiem mass for the Pope this morning. In fact, it's starting at 8 o'clock, so in just a few minutes, the requiem mass for Pope Francis here in the Diocese of Carniaki will take place in the Madonna del Divino Amore parish, which is right next to the bishop's residence. And Bishop Mercado invited all the priests of the diocese to join that mass in Madonna, and also representatives of all the parishes. So the diocese is also focused on the funeral of the Pope today. In fact, I would be there if I weren't here, because we have our mass here, so I can't join. And I'm sure all the priests who are able to join will attend that mass together with Bishop Jesse Mercado. I mention the bishop also because it's important to see that liturgically now, our connection with the church is established through the bishop. If you've been going to mass this week, you'll have noticed that the place where the Pope's name is mentioned in the Mass is always omitted. Usually the priest says something together with Francis our Pope and Jesse our Bishop, but we don't have a Pope now. So now we pray in the liturgy together with Jesse our Bishop. So our union with the church is expressed through our union with the local bishop. And today, the Pope will be not only have his funeral mass at St. Peter's, the Basilica, the great Basilica of St. Peter's, but he will be buried in the other basilica where he used to pray all the time, the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore, or St. Mary Major. That's where he's going to be buried. So it's a very important day for the Church. And once we complete this process of mourning and of entrusting the Holy Father to the mercy of God, then we start to focus on the preparations for the conclave, and we are praying for the cardinals who will be selecting the successor. So today we finish this process, then there's 9 days of masses, and then later there will be the conclave. So in order to be present to the present moment, in order to be united with the Church, we have to, of course, pray for our Holy Father, pray for Pope Francis, and that's what we'll be doing in this Mass as well. We have an image of him there before the altar to remind us that he has died and he's in our hearts and our prayers. Now, the theme that was chosen for today, an Easter theme, is the saving power of faith in the resurrection. So let's take a few minutes to reflect on this. We've been reflecting on the resurrection all week, from the Easter Vigil, the burst of new light into the world, and then Easter Day, and then all week, Easter Octave, the power of the resurrection, the shocking revolution, the earthquake of the resurrection, it's overwhelming. And by now it's certainly clear that the Lord rose from the dead and he appeared to many people. But it's also clear that those who saw him or heard about his rising were not that quick to get it or to accept it. Just because Jesus rose from the dead doesn't mean that we experience the saving power of faith in the resurrection, because faith is our part. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive now forever, alleluia, but do we have faith in the resurrection? And by faith, we experience this saving power that the theme mentions. Now, today's gospel gives us a summary of the struggle for faith that the apostles went through. It's almost comical how it's told that they didn't believe Mary Magdalene, they didn't believe the two disciples who saw him on the road, and when Jesus finally appeared to them, he had to rebuke them because they wouldn't believe, because of their hardness of heart. This is Mark's version of the Easter period, and it's one of the signs in the Bible that makes this story even more authentic. Because if you were making up a story of the resurrection, you would never say that your own apostles didn't believe it, because it makes it seem like they're bad examples. But that's simply the fact. That's simply what happened. They didn't believe. They were slow to believe. Of course, once they came to faith, then they were giants of faith. Then they were heroes of faith. And they even laid down their lives for the gospel. But in the beginning, it was very hard to take in. So that's a reminder to us that it's hard for everyone. The leap of faith takes a certain kind of dying. We have to let go of our sense impressions, our prejudices, our ideas of how we think God should work, and we have to let God be God and do his things the way God does them. That's faith. Putting our trust in him is a decision we make, not because of evidence, not because of scientific proof, but because we trust the one who's revealing himself, and we trust those who are proclaiming the gospel. Faith is an act of trust in God. It's also striking that God entrusts himself to us, even us who are slow to believe. After he rebukes the apostles for their unbelief and hardness of heart, then he says to them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. So you've messed it up, you're a bit hard of heart, but now that you get it, now take it and share it with the world. So you see the progress from doubt to faith, from faith to proclamation. From doubt to faith, we have to make that step first. We have to put our trust in God. But once we do, then we have a responsibility to share it with others. We see it in action in today's first reading. This is a continuation of the great story of what happened after the man who was crippled from birth was healed in the name of Jesus, healed by the instruments, Peter and John, but healed by Jesus Christ. And so this healed man is evidence of the power of Jesus' name, the power of the gospel, the power of the resurrection, or what we call in the theme, the saving power of faith in the resurrection. It's extraordinary. The members of the Sanhedrin, the high priests, the Sadducees, they don't like this, but there's nothing they can do about it. And we start to see the relative powerlessness of earthly powers, of human authorities, in the face of the gospel. A lot of people think that the gospel is weak and only old ladies believe in it, but the fact is, the gospel is much more powerful than any human institution or human power. And this is what's clear in the first reading. Peter and John are nobodies, and the Sadducees see that they're ordinary, uneducated, ordinary men. And yet, they have this gospel message which has such power. We read yesterday that they converted 5,000 people. And so the authorities say, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do with these men? We can't overcome them. We can't deny what happened. We'll just tell them not to speak in his name anymore. Never again to speak to anyone in this name. Well, that's a very weak command. Very weak. And Peter and John know it right away. Are we supposed to obey God or are we supposed to obey you? You be the judge. Now, these are men of God, so they have to say, follow God. They have to tell people to obey God. But no, they keep warning them, no, don't talk in that name. And Peter and John give a very beautiful response here. Again, an expression of the saving power of faith in the resurrection. They say, it is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. There's no way you, who were so intimidating to us before, when Jesus was on trial, you who are the most powerful people we've ever met, there's no way you can stop us, because now we're putting our trust in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, in his name. So it's impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. This is the saving power of faith in the resurrection. This is the power that's available to us if we have faith in the resurrection. So the Easter octave is telling us, yes, move from doubt to faith. Yes, don't remain in unbelief. We'll hear this again tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, Feast of Divine Mercy, we will have that beautiful appearance of Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, to Thomas. Thomas, who says, I'm not going to believe it unless I can see it, unless I can touch him. And Jesus says, when he comes to him, don't remain in unbelief, but believe. Believe. Make that transition from doubt to faith. And Thomas does it. My Lord and my God. He makes a great act of faith. We'll see that tomorrow. But then, once we go from doubt to faith, we go from faith to proclamation. And now it's our responsibility to share this good news with everyone. In fact, if we really have faith, it's impossible for us not to share it with others. It's impossible for us, Peter says, not to speak about what we have seen and heard. We want everyone to experience the saving power of faith in the resurrection. That's what we celebrate at Easter time. And even as we mourn the loss of our Holy Father, we do so with confidence in the mercy of God. Like we do in every Christian funeral, yes, we express our sadness, but we also express our great hope in the risen life. And we say, eternal rest grant unto him. We say, we entrust him to your mercy, Lord, knowing that your mercy is more powerful than sin and death. So even a funeral is a joyful expression of faith in the resurrection, of the saving power of faith in the resurrection. So that's where we are. We're at the threshold of Divine Mercy Sunday. We continue our Easter celebration. We continue to sing Alleluia, Alleluia. We continue to express our sadness at the loss of our Holy Father, but with great hope in his eternal life and with great hope for the spread of the gospel to all the world.